Welcome to a special edition of Campaign Beat, our political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by veteran Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. And Rob, we didn't know until the wee hours of this morning that Governor Steve Bullock will stay in office another 4 years. He squeaked out a victory over Greg Gianforte, but there was some back and forth last night where it was in doubt.
Absolutely. There were some moments where Gianforte crept into the lead. You know, I guess my takeaway on this is that given what we've seen nationally, it's really remarkable that Bullock hung on here. It's the only bright spot for Montana Democrats, at least at the statewide level. And you look at how Trump won the state by 22%, something in that range. It looks like that's much better than Mitt Romney did 4 years ago. And it's a testament to Bullock that he managed to hang on. And it looks like he's going to win by a slightly larger margin than he did 4 years ago against Rick Hill.
But still very close, 2 points at this point. Voters didn't apparently buy Greg Gianforte's argument that the governor has been an ineffective leader or that he's corrupt in some way.
Yeah, exactly. It seemed to me that the Gianforte strategy on to drive home the corrupt angle was to kind of throw everything out there and hope that something or more than one thing would stick. And it just never quite seemed to take hold. The airplane issue, the email issue, I think it was maybe a hope that there'd be a death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. But no single issue out there ever quite took hold the way they were hoping.
Well, Chuck, the governor is the only Democrat to hold on to his seat among the state office holders, and Republicans swept everything else, Secretary of State, Auditor, Attorney General, State School Superintendent, and seats on the Public Service Commission.
They held the seats on the PSC, but if there were a theme song for last night in Montana, it'd be the Safari's Wipeout. Except for the governor, Republicans retained both the Montana House and Senate. They now have a 4-1 majority on the state land board, which is made up of the top statewide elected officials. The land board at present is a 4-1 majority for Democrats, and some of the land board members were defeated in their bids to run for other offices, like Denise Juneau and Monica Lindeen.
And Republicans kept control of the legislature, which is not unexpected.
No, I don't think anyone thought they'd get control of the Senate. By my early count, and this could be overturned, but it looked like they picked up 3 or 4 seats in the Montana House.
You're talking about Democrats.
Democrats did, and maybe lost a couple in the Senate. So the way you gain back a legislative majority is a little at a time over a series of years. And the Democrats really haven't had much in the way of legislative control since the early 90s. Once in a while, they've had a tie. In 95 and 97, they had majorities in the Senate, but the House has not been in Democratic control since 1993, I believe, or 1991.
Well, Governor Bullock says he's worked with Republicans in the past, and he can again.
I count on everybody, now that the elections are over, to be working together and working in the best interest of Montanans.
That will be a theory to be tested, certainly, but he has still a coalition of moderate Republicans in the legislature, Chuck, that he has worked with in the past.
That's right, Sally. The Democratic governor and this Republican moderate coalition, and they don't like to be called moderates, they call themselves the responsible Republicans, worked together in 2015 to pass Medicaid expansion for Montana, to pass the Disclose Campaign Finance Act, to ratify the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Water Treaty, and to confirm Jonathan Modell as Political Practices Commissioner. Some pretty major achievements that would not have happened without that coalition working together.
And Rob, the U.S. House race was a runaway victory for the incumbent Ryan Zinke. He won by almost 20 points over Denise Juneau. That's not a very strong showing by the Democratic challenger.
No, it isn't, Sally, and I think it comes to a lot of people as a surprise. Zinke maintaining that seat certainly is no surprise, but again, it's just the margin that he won by. That's actually a wider margin than he won 2 years ago against John Lewis. I guess one thing that always struck me as a little bit of a head-scratcher with the Juneau campaign is how much emphasis they put on the reservation vote. And that's surprising just in the sense that the reservation vote already always goes heavily towards the Democrats. So even if you drive those numbers up, it just doesn't help all that much in the big scheme of things. And it seemed like between that and maybe the focus on university towns, that Juneau was playing on ground that was within her comfort zone, maybe a little too much, and not trying to reach out to other areas that might not be quite as natural. But regardless, it was such a large margin of victory by Zinke, there was probably not much that she could have done.
Well, she did run an historic campaign. If she'd won, she would have been the first Native American woman elected to Congress and the first out gay person from Montana to be elected to Congress. Here's what Denise Juneau had to say last night about her race.
I ran and started this run for Congress so not so I could get a job in Washington, D.C., but so that I could go to D.C. and make a difference. I ran to put Montana's people, land, and economy first.
It's going to be interesting to see, Rob, what Denise Juneau does now. There was talk that if Hillary Clinton had won, she might have been her education secretary, but she's not going to D.C. that way either.
Nope. Yeah, you know, I think for a long time, Democrats had looked to Denise Juneau as a rising star. She'd won statewide twice to be superintendent. She brought a lot of compelling things that you mentioned, historic firsts that got the progressive base very excited. And just, you know, a matter of days ago, I think they still thought that they had an outside chance to actually win this election. And if that didn't fall through, there was a backup plan to maybe go be in Hillary Clinton's cabinet. So it's a tough turn of events. She is a talented woman. She had a lot of success in her role as superintendent. And so my guess is that she lands on her feet. Whether or not she comes back to try to run statewide like this again, I don't know. If she had ran better than John Lewis, she would be in a much better position to do so. I don't know how Democrats will feel about putting her up again, given the margin of victory for Zinke.
Well, for his part, Congressman Zinke is calling for unity.
The challenge is after this election, we're going to have to heal and we're going to have to unite as a people, as Americans.
And that is the challenge, Chuck.
Well, that's right. And we also heard the speech last night from Donald Trump saying essentially the same thing. I think Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton more or less said the same thing today. We have
what
to
else
get
are
together.
They going to say?
Yeah,
right?
It's sort of standard post-election commentary. But the question is, will we? You know, how divided is this country? How divided is this state? And I guess it's up to the leaders to try to make this happen. And, you know, maybe we can talk a year from now to see if it has.
Well, certainly Mr. Trump's supporters are going to look for him to keep his promises. And some of those promises include saving coal jobs, making their health care more affordable. These are huge challenges.
Yes. And as we've talked about, you know, he wants to save the coal jobs. He doesn't believe in climate change. He wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. We'll see if that happens. But I mean, these were issues that resonated with a lot of voters in Montana, I believe.
And Rob, environmental issues are so important in Montana, but they were not front and center in the national presidential campaign for either candidate. There was some mention of climate change, as Chuck just mentioned, but very little else about that. So that's going to be a mystery at this point to know what a Trump presidency will mean for some of those issues that are so crucial here in Montana and across the country, of course.
Yeah, for sure, Sally. I think there are a lot of mysteries at this point. Trump didn't have, on most issues, a firmly articulated position. So there's a lot left up in the air. I guess I'd also maybe note that now that he is going to be president, there's a big difference between campaigning and governing. And a lot of people on the progressive side of the United States are really worried about some of the things that might happen. You know, one thing that is worth bearing in mind is that our system is set up, our national system and our state system for that matter, is set up in a way that makes it very hard to enact change. And as much as that's been a frustration to progressives for the last 8 years, now is when those people can feel happy that we have a lot of procedural restraints, including things like the filibuster, that make it very hard to do some of the things that Donald Trump has talked about doing and gives off the impression it's very easy to get some of these things done. We'll see.
Well, we knew 2016 would be an historic election year, but how that history is going to be written is definitely a question mark at this point. You've been listening to a special edition of Campaign Beat. I'm your host, Sally Mock. I've been speaking with veteran Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. We'll be back in our regular time slot on Friday for more of our final thoughts on the 2016 election. Rob and Chuck, get some rest, and I'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.